Let's pray together. Baba wethu osozulini yisowe Nkosi Jesu. Siyabonga ekseni, sibonga Nkosi umusa wakho ukuba usondeze kulena ndawo yomkhuleko, kulena ndawo Nkosi yokudumisa igama lakho. Ukuba size Nkosi uzwa ukuba uthini wena namhlanje emabandleni. We want to thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We want to thank you, Lord, for the gift of family. We want to thank you, Lord, for encouraging us and showing us the future before it even transpires. Kuluma kithi ngencweku yakho, kuluma kithi Nkosi yami ngezwi lakho. Usihlanganise Nkosi yethu egameni lika Christu ukuba Nkosi silazi izwi lakho. Thank you, Heavenly God. Thank you, Master Jesus, for all that you are about to do in our lives through the preaching of your word. Lead us then and guide us. Show us Christ in the preaching of your word. We ask all this in the name of your Son, in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of God say Amen. Good morning, Church. We continue on our series of studies in the Gospel according to Matthew, and this morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 6 again. We're going to read from verse 25 to verse 34. The title of the message: Do not be anxious, do not worry. In other words, before we read, let me just share with you, then we will continue. And as I preach, you will realize why I'm sharing this story with you. Those who come to this church, they know I don't share stories when I preach. But today I will do you that favor, because I know you like stories. Right. We are buying a house. Me and my family, we're going to be moving to Olivan, as we have mentioned already in the prayer. But here's the story. I was told that to transfer the house would cost us 15,000 rands. So we've been trying to come up with 15,000 rand. Friday afternoon, we went to another office where we were called to come and sign further papers in a different office. Then we were told that we must also pay those people 21,000 rand. So I've got 15 that I'm trying to work towards to. Then I've got 21 that I must also pay between now and the 30th of June. We already gave our notice that we are leaving from the house. Someone else is coming to stay where we are staying. So, this coming month, we don't know where we'll be staying. Should we not have the money? The title of the message says, do not be anxious. I didn't plan the title of the message. We are going through the Gospel of Matthew, and it is our teaching for today. Remember. So that is why I wanted to give you this, so that you really understand that I understand what you might be going through. But let us hear what is his understanding of our situation. So we're going to read together from verse 25 to verse 34. Reads as following. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field,
which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. It is easy to say, do not worry, when you do not understand what people are going through. It is easy to say, do not worry, when you yourself is worried. It is easy to say, do not worry, and give people false hope. Bob Marley sang a song which said, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. That has become some kind of evangelistic words these days. People will say, come to Jesus. Every little thing is going to be all right. Yet on the other hand, the Bible tells us that our life in this world will be characterized by tribulation, especially the life of holiness, the life of godliness, the life of purity of heart, the life that is looking unto God each and every time will be characterized by tribulation. A life of a person that has put his treasures, or has laid his treasures in heaven than here on earth. That life is not going to be a stress-free life. That is not going to be a life without perplexity and trouble and despair in this world or tears. But it will be a life full of challenges. Challenges which has driven many people to live in despair. We are living in a world where there is so much to worry about, humanly speaking. The food prices, petrol prices, job security, our children's future. We worry about these things all our lives. We are living in a world of hopelessness and discouragement. We face sickness each and every day. We face diseases. Our loved ones, they die before us. And such things, they weigh us down with anxiety. Lack of finances has that ability to put people in a corner and flood them with anxiety. There are so many phobias, many fears that we face in this life, fears that bring us into that place of worrying, the place of weariness, because we are living in a real world with real fears. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ this morning says, do not worry. And remember, this is not just a man who is worried about losing his own car, telling you not to worry. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who knows the end from the beginning. The man who knows your life, says this morning, do not worry. He says, when the storms of life hit you from every side, you must have peace like a river flooding, peace like a river attending your soul. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But not because Jesus is going to take away the worrisome situation in your life. No. You will see that. He's actually going to take you through these worrisome situations. Remember, he says in John 16, verse 33, if you write down, he says there, talking to his disciples, after telling his disciples that he will be persecuted, he will be crucified, he will die, that he will leave them, he will go back to his Father. He says to them, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. I'm giving you so much information to worry you, so that in me you may have peace. Why? In the world you have tribulation. But take heart. Do not worry. I have overcome the world, so says the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not promising a stress-free life, but he's promising that there will be worrisome situation even the next day. Worrisome situation that will try to attend to you, try to flood your soul with anxiety. But do not let your heart be troubled by anxiety. Why? I'm going to give you the reason why you should not worry. Because worry or anxiety is sin before God. It disturbs your relationship with God. It becomes a god of your life. It becomes something that will rule you and turn your focus and your attention to the things of the world rather than turning your attention to the God of heaven. Worry is a thief that steals peace, joy, and health. It robs you of your contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Worries makes you unreasonable. Why? You claim to believe in God who's superior, to believe in God who's sovereign, so to put it. But at the same time, you are worrying. In other words, you are distrusting the very same God you are claiming he's sovereign over all things. Worry makes you think we are not worthy of anything, but the birds, the lilies, and the grass of the world are much better than you. Worry locks you in a room of unproductiveness, whereby you work so hard, but get nothing at the end of the day. You work so hard, and there is no result that is coming out of your work. Worry suggests that you have not laid up treasures in heaven, as we spoke last week, but you have actually laid up your treasures here below. Your attention is down here, not up there. That is what worry is communicating to you. So, what is it that is worrying you? What is it that is causing you sleepless nights? Is it your job? Is it your children? Is it your singleness? Because there are people who are single in this church. Does that cause you to worry? Is it your marriage? Because there are people who are married. Is it the rent that you're supposed to pay? Is it the health of your children or your own health? What is it that is worrying you? What is it that is drawing your attention to a different direction than the direction that the Lord has set before you? What is it that is causing you to wake up the whole night, as it were, and not close your eyes? Pulling you apart. Something is pulling you apart. Or something is strangling you, as it were. What is it? What is it that is laying there in that bedrock of your own heart? And how many times are we going to risk your life about things that you cannot change? That is the question. This morning, there are three important truths I want you to remember. I want you to remember these three important truths every time you are tempted by the sin of anxiety. Firstly, look unto God's provision. Look unto God's providence. Read from verse 25 to 30. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. No, about your body, what you will put on. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour or spend an hour to a span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like this. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the barn, or tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What is providence? I say, look unto God's providence. What is providence? Providence is the protective care of God. That hand of God that directs the events of this world is upon you as a Christian. The seeing, care, and guidance of God. You need to have that in your heart, that God will provide for you. Jesus' first idea of a worry-free life is that you remember the goodness of the Lord, that you remember the shepherd who is able to lay you down in greener pastures. The shepherd who sticks by you and walks side by side with you all of your life. The shepherd who leads you beside still waters. The shepherd who is with you even when you walk in the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd who prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So Jesus brings a picture of the birds of the air and the lilies of the valley and the grass of the fields. You can sense that in that picture that he's bringing, that there is no reason that we should worry, because God cares about those things, so he cares about us too. You can sense that the reason we actually fall into the sin of anxiety is because we distrust God. We don't trust God fully. There is something that tells us that God might fail us. Deep within your heart, there is distrust. We forget his faithfulness towards us. In verse 25, he says, therefore. That verse begins with the word therefore. What does it tell you? It connects what we spoke about last week with what we are speaking about today. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ says, since you have piled up your treasures in heaven, since you have a pure heart, since you serve one God, one Master, there is no reason for you to worry about the daily needs. Regardless of the fact that you must pray for these things, but you shouldn't worry about these things. Because you have already proven your trust, your dependence upon God. You have proven that. So the cares of this life should not weigh your heart down with anxiety. The cares of this life should not cause you no sleepless night, because God is in control. I wonder if we always remember that God is in control. God is always there for you, to provide for you. That is what Jesus is telling his disciples. Is it not true, friends, that sometimes we forget that God is in control? So for the fact that we always forget that God is in control, the Lord Jesus Christ there, he comes to remind us of that truth. He says, God is in control. He uses three illustrations to help us see the goodness and the steadfast love of God towards us. He speaks of the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, the grass of the field. To just point to us that God dressed up the grass green. If you look at the grass, God caused the grass to be green. But the same grass will not be there tomorrow. God dresses the lilies of the valley, the flowers of the field, the flowers that nobody takes care of. God dresses that. God dressed the birds of the air to the point that not even Solomon, in all his riches, could dress himself even closer to these birds. Of course, friends, Jesus is not saying clothes and food is not important. The question is, why should you worry? Why should this thing worry you? Because if you read in your Bible, it says, it is the unbeliever's job, the unbeliever's duty to worry. That is what they are there for. Unbelievers need to live in worry. Why should they worry? They don't have a future. They don't have a future with God. They don't have a promise with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know where they are going after this life. But you know where we are going after this life. Will God then give you heaven and take away things of this world from you? It is the unbeliever's duty to spend his time worrying about things. You need to look up to God. You need to look unto heaven and remember that God cares about you. He will not even allow you the sin of anxiety. What he's saying here, all that you need to do, look at the birds, look at the lilies, look at the grass. Those things should remind you of the steadfastness and the love of God. Those things are here today, they are gone tomorrow. But God still spends time, energy to dress up those things. He makes sure that those things are supplied for. What about his people? What about his children that he bought with the precious blood of his son? Will he not also graciously give them all things according to his riches and glory? So then why will you let other people's prosperity worry you or distract you along the way? But you might say, Jesus, you don't understand. I'm going through difficulty right now. Jesus, you don't understand. I'm in so much need right now. I'm desperate. I've got bills to pay. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about this and that and that. I'm worried about my future. You don't understand. He says, of course, you think I don't. I do understand. Remember, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I do understand what trouble sounds like, how trouble feels like. I was once also in such a situation that might have caused me to worry. So I do understand. My aim then is to draw your attention back to God, because in that you will not allow worldly cares to flood your heart with discontent. Jesus is giving us hope here, friends. He's giving us hope and assurance that the Lord provides for the righteous right now. In this life, the Lord provides for the righteous. Those who are gracious and giving, the Lord takes good care of them. He holds them up in his arms. He cares for them. They are able to look back at their past experiences and say, surely God is good. Are you able to look back into your past and see that the Lord is good? Will that then remind you that the very same Lord who was good last year, who was good yesterday, is also good today, is going to be good tomorrow? The righteous looks back at their lives. They know whom they have believed, and they are confident in him whom they have believed. They speak like David in Psalm 37, verse 25. Listen to what David says. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for food. That was David speaking, friends. A man who was once found running away, running for his life. King Saul wanting, pursuing to kill him. He was found in the wilderness one day without food and without drink. Then he went to the temple and ate the bread that he was not supposed to eat. But before his eyes, before his heart, what he knew is that God is in control. God is there for him. And church, I want to say, God is also there for you. So cast all your anxiety, cast all your burdens upon him, because he cares. He cares about what you are going through today. He has the ability to provide for you. He has the ability to feed you and take good care of you. We are not alone fighting against the odds. God is with you. Psalm 94, verse 19. Listen to what the psalmist says. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheers my soul. What is the psalmist saying here? The psalmist is saying, friends, there are times when the righteous people of God are in difficult times. Why? Because we are not immune from trouble, friends. It doesn't mean once you come to Jesus, trouble does not follow you. That is heresy. We are not immune from trouble. But the psalmist is pointing out that God sustains his people. Regardless of the troubles of this world, we have a God who sustains his people. Proverbs 12, verse 25. This is what the wise man says there. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but good word makes him glad. And I think that is what we see here. Jesus is bringing a good word to us this morning. Jesus is bringing a good word to his disciples. He's saying, remember Solomon and his riches. He could not even wear, he could not even dress himself with all the Nikes of those times, the Pumas of those times. What is it that you guys are wearing today? Nike, well, those expensive things. Solomon could not have all those things to beat the beauty of the birds, how God dressed them. He's giving us good word. Take your attention to the Lord. He's there. He's there for you. So why worry? Because God will dress you up in a way that the world will marvel. God will dress you up because you belong to God. So do you really think that the birds are better than you? Is that what you're thinking? Do you think that God is not a capable father? That's how you view God? Is that the reason you are worried? Have you been so disappointed by your earthly fathers, then you begin to think that God perhaps is like the earthly fathers? Is that the view that you have for God? Or you just don't know who is it that has loved you so much that he has adopted you to his wonderful family? Perhaps you don't know who is he that has loved you so much. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. That's where your help comes from. But perhaps, friends, perhaps God has not yet provided for you. It is possible that God has not yet provided for you. Perhaps you are not dressed better than the lilies of the valley. Perhaps you're starving worse than the birds of the air. But I want to tell you that God is faithful. God will provide for you. So do not distrust his goodness and love towards you. He will dress you. If he doesn't dress you until you pass on from this life, there is something better, much better. He didn't promise that all of us will be much better than the birds of the air and be dressed better than the lilies of the valley. But one thing I know, that when you pass on from this life, you will walk unto heaven one day. We will be walking on the streets of gold, shining with glory one day. That is what is coming. That is what is coming to you. So, why worry? If God is for you, who and what can be against you and prevail? All that you need to do is to remember the great provider. God is the great provider. Secondly, you need to prioritize God than your needs. You need to put God first than your needs. Verse 31 to 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The message is here, very simple. Now that you look unto the providence of God, let the kingdom of God be your priority. Now that you look unto the providence of God, now that you know that there's a God who loves and cares for you, let the kingdom of God be your priority. You need to dedicate your life to the worship and the praise of God. You don't have to worry what shall you eat or drink or what shall you wear. Prioritize the kingdom of God. Remember the children of Israel? The children of Israel in the wilderness, they forgot the Lord who took them out of the land of slavery. They began to seek their own ways. They made their own God. They missed the food of Egypt, the garlic and the cucumbers. They missed it. Friend, I went to see, I think you all know what a garlic looks like. And cucumbers. I don't understand why would I miss a garlic and a cucumber. Really? But hey, maybe I'm not on their shoes. perhaps. A garlic and cucumber. Really? Cucumber? Have you eaten a cucumber, man? That is what we do when we distrust God. You miss a cucumber. Something that even dogs will pass and not eat. A cucumber. That is what they did. They missed the food of the past. They blame one another instead of seeking God's will for them. They remained as slaves although they were free. That is the problem with anxiety. You remain a slave although you are free. They got worried about their well-beings. They forgot about the will of God for them. And in the same way, my friend, when you worry, you actually become a slave of whatever you are worrying about. Those things weigh your heart down. When you worry, you begin to have a God whispering on your ears, a message contrary to the message that God has given to you when you were saved. Somebody else is whispering on your ears, telling you not to trust God, to prioritize your own life, to think that the troubles that you see is the end. God says, prioritize heaven. Pastor Ronald Kalifongwe from Zambia, Lusaka Baptist Church, he made an illustration one day. Kalifongwe said, and I'm going to paraphrase since I don't remember exact words, but the idea is this. He says, if you have a coin and you take that coin, you bring it closer into your eye, that coin becomes bigger than the sun. Not because the sun shrinks, because the coin is closer to your eye. That is what Kalifongwe says. What is the point there? When you bring your trouble closer to you, they become more and bigger than your God. Not because your God gets to be small, but the coin, the trouble, is too close to your eyes. You need to step away from what is stealing your peace and immerse yourself into the presence of God. You need to put the Lord first. You need to seek His kingdom first. You need to seek Him first. It is not enough to know that God is in control. It is not enough to know that there is providence from God. That is not enough to know, my friend. You need to make the very same God your personal possession. He must belong to you. Make God your personal possession rather than the things of this world. Don't hold closer and dear the things of the world while pushing away the God of heaven. You draw God first. Let Him be the one who comes closer into your eye, that you may see Him big and bigger than the problems. Prioritizing God. That is what actually, according to Jesus, should cause you sleepless nights. The kingdom of God should cause you sleepless nights. You must think about it more and more than you think about your own leaky problems. The phrase there, verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, it tells you that worrying, as I was saying, worrying is for the unbelievers, my friends. Worrying is for the unbelievers. Worry is actually worldliness. It doesn't belong to Christians. So, Jesus is saying, don't lower your standard to the standard of the people who are outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But when worries comes to you, direct your attention towards His kingdom. Do not overcrowd yourself with the materialistic things of this world. You will never be satisfied. Do not overcrowd yourself with the materialistic things of this world, because it will give you an artificial picture of reality. Things of this world doesn't tell you what is actually real. God is real. You need to remember, friends, according to this verse, Jesus Christ says, remember, your life is more important than the food that you eat. Your life is more important than the clothes that you wear. And friends, before you worry about food and clothing, I think this is very important for each and every person. Just think about this. Before you worry about the food and the clothes that you need to put upon your body, have you fed yourself with the bread of heaven? Maybe that is why you are worried. about food? Have you fed yourself with the food, the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you worry about clothing. Have you clothed yourself with the holiness of God? Have you clothed yourself with the garments of heaven, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, before you worry about clothing yourself? I know that clothing, in other people's mind, it brings to people how they are. You think the clothes is what makes you who you are. That's why when you are not wearing nice, people are wearing nice, they look down on you, which is sinful. But as you are looking down on someone else, are you clothed with the righteousness of heaven? Because the person you're looking down to, he's clothed with the righteousness of heaven. One day he will die, or she will die. She will pass through the grave and enter into the kingdom of God. Will you be there with your nice shining clothes? Beautiful suit like mine. That's the point, friends. That is the point, friends. It is for the unbelievers. Do not overcrowd yourself with these things. Your life is more important than these things. He says, you must just seek first the kingdom of God. You must just worry about heavenly matters first. You must prioritize God's business first before you prioritize your own business. Spend energy seeking the will of God. Do not frustrate yourself with the lie that God wants you to be rich. That is a lie. Because there is nowhere in the Bible. Do not frustrate yourself with that God wants you to be rich. Here is something that God wants you to be. God wants you to be holy. My friend, God doesn't want you to be rich. He wants you to be holy. That is what he wants. So don't worry about these lies that you must seek riches in this world. You must seek the riches of heaven. God wants you to be godly. And when you make plans to establish or grow your business, when you make plans to study more, to further your education, to build your career and to get that new position, when you do those things, there's nothing wrong. The question is, how will that glorify God? How will that help to build the kingdom of God? That is the question. Remember the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 12? There, the man come to Jesus. Good teacher, what can I do to enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus says, do you know the law, the Ten Commandments? Yes, I do. I've kept all of them since I was young. But as soon as Jesus told him what to do, what did the man do? He returned back. He prioritized his riches than God. He had a God called gold than the God of heaven. He prioritized the riches of this world and returned back home without obtaining the blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that none of us return back home without obtaining the blessing that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because friends, if any man or any woman or any child will preoccupy themselves with God first, those people who have so much in this world, the Bible says, everything will be added to you. If you can just preoccupy yourself with the kingdom of God, if you will make God your priority, God also will make you his own priority. If he wills, he will add unto you riches in this world. If he wills, because he's able to make each and everyone rich. But I can tell you, friends, God is able to sustain and give us what we need today. He is able to give us the riches that we do not lack food, that we do not lack clothing. He is able to bless us with riches that we help others, that we build the kingdom of God as well. God is able. He will keep his promise. Let us not worry about what we are going through. Let us worry about the purity of our own heart. Let us worry about our love for God. Let us worry about our saving, service that we do, saving one another. Because God will keep His promise. It is impossible, so says the Bible, it is impossible for God to lie. Yours is to have His kingdom at the center of your heart and at the center of your mind in the midst of all these needs of the world. In the midst of physical needs, have God at the center of your heart. Do not worry. Do not bring your trouble closer to your own eyes, because it will be bigger than the God. Because you will begin to prioritize trouble than prioritizing God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will follow. Thirdly, live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Read verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, this is what Jesus is saying. You must not overload the present day with tomorrow's troubles. That is what Jesus is saying. Don't overload the present day with tomorrow's troubles. Don't do something like time travel. Don't do a spiritual time travel to check on the problems of tomorrow and bother yourself with those problems today. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Because not only will you not change tomorrow, actually you cannot even handle today. You need Him to handle today for you. So why bother about the things of tomorrow if you still have today to sort out? That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's not saying you should not improve your situation because you already know what is happening tomorrow. He's not saying I must not plan how am I going to get the money that I need to pay for the lawyers. He's not saying you must live in ignorance and go through life without guidance. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Yeah? He's not saying sit there and have no hope at all and just hope for the best. God is in control. I'm sitting. And I'm going to prove to you that is not what He's saying. I'm just telling you for now. You cannot go through life without guidance. You cannot go through life without proper planning. But all that you need to remember all the time, your plans are subject to the will of God. Your plans are subject to the will of God. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 13 to 15, you can write down, we read last week. It says there are those people who boast about tomorrow. People who plan for tomorrow and they have assurance for tomorrow on the basis of what they have planned. On basis of what they are able to do. People are boastful about tomorrow. Tomorrow I will do this. Tomorrow I will do that. The Bible reveals there that it is foolish to boast about tomorrow. You may not even make it to tomorrow. Do you know that? You may not even make it to tomorrow. Why boast about tomorrow? But before us, Jesus Christ here comes in a very different angle actually. He says, you may not be boasting about tomorrow, which is actually good. You may not be overloading yourself about tomorrow's problems. That is what he's saying. And that is good. But you might be weighing down your soul about tomorrow while we are still living today. We are not boastful. We are not confident about tomorrow, but we are worried about tomorrow. James says people are boastful about tomorrow. Jesus says sometimes they are not just boastful about tomorrow. Is that you? You are not boastful about tomorrow because you listen to James, but you are worried about tomorrow while you still have today to sort out. You need to live one day at a time, my friend. Stop worrying about the things you cannot change. Let the Lord deal with those things that you cannot change. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. Listen to this verse, a very beautiful verse. This is what Paul says. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, by what? By prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Be anxious about nothing. Come to God in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. What does that word thanksgiving, what is that word talk about? Thanksgiving. You give thanks for what you already see today as well, and the things of the past, and you give thanks of the life that is still coming. But we are not sure whether we're even going to get there. It's a matter of faith, my friends. In verse 34, if you notice very well there, you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees a future for his children. What kind of future is he guaranteeing there? He will be there in the future when the future comes. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow lie in the hands of a faithful God, which means the faithful God will be there tomorrow, before you get to tomorrow. He is there waiting for you. There's a future. God is our future. Tomorrow is not our future. God is our future. So we need to depend on the future. If you look in my hands, future God. So for now, what you need to do is to just demonstrate faith by living a life of wisdom, by being patient today, for tomorrow God will bring his salvation. Tomorrow God will give you his grace. Live one day at a time. That means live tomorrow in the hands of a faithful God. You need to have a high view of God's provision, my friend, for today. Have a high view of what God has given you today, and try to enjoy what you have today. That is why it's very important. Love your family, your friends today. You might not make it to tomorrow. Don't say you will do it tomorrow. Do that tomorrow when tomorrow comes. You have got today to fulfill your obligations. If you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ as well, there is no tomorrow that you must plan about. It might not come. Today, do not harden your heart. Today, when you hear his word, turn from your wicked ways. Come to the Lord today. It's very important to honor today. So, try to enjoy what you have been given to by God today. Do not presume too much about the future or about future plans, and miss today's blessing. Some people, they think too much about the future and miss today's blessing. There is a hymn which says, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know he holds my hand. So friends, you must have enough faith to believe that the God who provides for you today will be there for you even tomorrow. He is there to give you grace and mercy. So don't cause yourself stress about tomorrow's trouble. Believe that God will not take you through to tomorrow if he does not have a plan for you for tomorrow. If you worry about tomorrow, here's the question. What can you change? Can you add a little bit? Height? Life? Can you add anything? If you worry about tomorrow, let me tell you something. When you worry about tomorrow, you're not actually adding anything. You're taking away something from you. You're causing yourself anxiety attack. You're causing yourself stress and stressing your heart and your mind. You're actually not doing anything good for yourself. You are actually pressing that fast forward button into the grave. That's what happens when you worry about tomorrow. You just press, these days you don't press like this. Those were my days. Now you press like this in your hand, there's a remote. You're pressing the fast forward button into the grave when you are about tomorrow. What can you change? You can't change anything, my friend. Remember, the leaders of the valley, they are here today, they are gone tomorrow. Tomorrow is certain to happen, to be there. But God is certainly going to be there for you, and his grace will be there for you the next day. Deal with today's issues today and leave the rest into the capable hands of a faithful God. So it is clear, friends, that it is God's duty to worry about you. It is God's duty to worry about your future. And as I'm coming to the end, let me read for you what Job says in Job 38, verse 41. This is what Job says. Who provides for the raven its prey? The raven is a bird. When its young one cry to God for help and wonder about lack of food, who provides for the raven its prey? When its young one cry to God, there's something that Job is revealing here, my friend. Birds cry to God for food. Birds pray to God, and God is there to provide for the raven its prey. What is it that is stopping you from crying to God like a little bird, crying that God may help you and your young ones? What is it that is stopping you to spend all of your energy and time crying to God? What is it, friends? Is it lack of knowledge? What is it? But let me close by saying, remember I said to you, I'm going to prove that the birds could take good care of them, but they are also responsible in their own lives. I said to you, this doesn't mean you must sit and fold your hands and hope for tomorrow. Birds, they wake up early in the morning. Yes, they fly around looking for that worm that they will eat on that day. But as they are flying around out there, the Lord shows them, directs them to the worm that they must eat. You need to wake up and do something. You cannot sit there, fold your hands, hope for tomorrow. In Swazi, my language, they say, "Inguvo aina mali." What does that mean? Putting or pulling blankets and piling them on top of you when it is time to arise in the morning will not fill your stomach. Arise, Mzalwane, and let the Lord Jesus Christ shine on you. Just arise. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Because when you get there, when you get to tomorrow, God's grace will be there to meet you and give you what you need and bring you closer to the Lord. Here are a few things that I want you to take home. Don't behave like an unbeliever. Only they have the right to be worried. They have no God in this world. Remember that God knows your needs, my friends. Don't think that God has forgotten you. He knows your need. So if He will give you His Son, is there anything that the Lord will prevent or stop you from getting? God knows all of your needs. Be hopeful. God will take good care of you. He cares about you today. He cares about you tomorrow, even today. God cares for you. And if you are a Christian, my friend, there are many troubles that you're still going to face. This life, a Christian life, is not a trouble-free life. There will be trouble tomorrow. But there's a God who's greater than trouble waiting there tomorrow. His grace is sufficient for you. He thinks about you today, preparing your future today, preparing your tomorrow today. If He takes you to tomorrow, He has a plan for you tomorrow. Don't worry. Worry will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of your joy today because you are worried about tomorrow. And then tomorrow when you get there, you still don't have joy. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart today. Look unto God. Remember His providence. Look unto God. He's the one you must trust. He's the one who provides for you. Don't be anxious. Prioritize God. Live one day at a time. Every time you are tempted to worry, remember that God's mercies are new every day, and great is His faithfulness. Can you do that, my friend?
Let's pray.